If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, as we continue in our series, In the Cross. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, very familiar words. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Well, let's pray. Lord, we're living in a world today that has no idea what to do with sin. Other faith systems in the world really do not deal with sin. I pray You just teach us, Lord, the incredible way that You dealt with it through the cross of Jesus Christ and how much we need to be taking our sin to You so that it can be forgiven and overcome. I pray You'd come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray You'd open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. Last Valentine's Day, the San Antonio Zoo in San Antonio, Texas, ran a special offer called Cry Me a Cockroach to raise money for the animals and to give guys and gals a chance to get back at any of their exes that may have hurt them or dumped on them or cheated on them. So for a $5 donation, they would name a cockroach after your ex, and then you could watch the workers on the zoo webcam feed it to a peacock or a lizard. And if you were really bitter, for a $25 donation, they would name a rat after your ex, and you could watch it being swallowed whole by a Komodo dragon. Holy cucaracha, people. Talk about wanting a pound of flesh, or bug, or rat, or whatever. We're not very good when it comes to dealing with sin, and especially our own, either confessing it or overcoming it. And because of that, all kinds of sin today is destroying us, the Church of Jesus Christ, and this entire nation. But the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how we can deal with sin once and for all. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a series for Lent called In the Cross, because it's only in the cross of Jesus Christ that we find the answers to all the biggest questions that people are asking today. Last week we looked at the question, where is God? And this week we look at the question, how do we deal with sin? And to answer that, we turn this morning to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. In this part of 1 John chapter 1, John is telling us Christians that we shouldn't sin. But when we do, we have a Savior who forgives us through the blood that He shed on the cross. And our text is telling us today, we get that forgiveness by admitting that sin and taking it to the cross. So the Holy Spirit is telling us today, the answer to that question is very simple. How do we deal with sin? We take it to the cross and let Jesus set us free. Our text this morning, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, tells us three things that we need to do in order to deal with sin and get rid of it once and for all like God wants us to. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to deal with sin, we need to confess it. And that is exactly what John is saying here in verse 9, if we confess our sins. And why do we need to do that? Because God is holy and we're sinners. And sin separates us from God and keeps us from all the heaven, all the good blessings that God wants us to have. Now that word confess there in the original Greek literally means to agree with God that what you're doing is wrong, that the sin is wrong. And not just confessing it with your mouth, but really repenting of it in your heart. So don't say it was Donald Trump's fault, or that you got hacked, or that the dog ate your homework, or that your mom rocked you a lot when you were a baby and used big rocks. Just confess your sin to God. But the problem is, too many people today aren't confessing that sin because they don't even think they're sinning to start with. Or even care. I've had people tell me in conversations, Kevin, I'm not a sinner. I may not be perfect, but I'm not a sinner. Well, what do you think that means? Do you realize the reason we're not perfect is because we are sinners? Kind of means the same thing. People today don't think lying is a sin at all. This past week, the left passed a $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill, even though less than 10% of it actually has anything to do with COVID at all. Last Thursday night, Joe Biden told all Americans that we need to put our faith and trust in the federal government. That's a lie too, because the Bible says we need to put our faith and trust in God alone. 10 scariest words in the English language are what? I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. Sin today isn't being confessed, it's being glorified. Last month, 17-year-old YouTube star JoJo Siwa came out and declared that she was gay. And this is what she said. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I'm the happiest I've ever been, and that's the only thing that matters. See, forget what God says about sin and homosexuality. Only thing that matters, that girl is happy. Well, Kevin, all LGBT people are just born like that. No, they're not. Latest report from Johns Hopkins University, which is not a Christian organization, says this. The idea that people are born gay or transgender is simply not supported by any scientific evidence. Enough said. I got this email from a transgender last fall. Pastor Garner, in one of your sermons you said that transgenderism is wrong. And I have to tell you, that hurt my feelings because I have so many urges to be the opposite of how I was born, and transgender is exactly how I feel. So there's no way I wasn't born like this. As a pastor, you shouldn't criticize me for wanting a lifestyle that goes along with the feelings that I have. And don't tell me that Jesus wouldn't have wanted that too, because He said we should love everybody. If Jesus and the Bible you preach are all about love, why aren't you? Listen to me. You do not twist God's words to fit your feelings and throw out words like Jesus and love to try to make you think everything you feel like doing is perfectly fine. And even if you were born like that, which you weren't, it still wouldn't be right, because every single one of us is born with a sinful nature to do all kinds of wrong things. You don't think that as a cisgender heterosexual, I don't have to say no to all kinds of urges that I have? So LGBT is not the unpardonable sin, but it is still sin. And Proverbs chapter 32 verse 3 says, if we hide our sin, our bones waste away, meaning the guilt just builds up and up inside of us. So don't tell me that America right now is not suffering from terminal bone disease. We've got to confess our sins to God. But instead of that, too many people today are just changing the definition of what sin is. And we see that everywhere. Post the words, men can't have babies, on any site on social media. I guarantee you, in less than 5 minutes, you'll get death threats. Because today, it's a sin to even suggest that there is any difference between a man and a woman at all. It's a sin today to say that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Because Whoopi Goldberg on The View said that's the exact same Nazi mentality that put Jews in the ovens in World War II. What in the world is she talking about? Bill Gates is trying to make eating meat a sin. So right now he's using 3D bioprint technology and plant material to make what he's calling synthetic meat, to try to stop the slaughter of animals and save the planet from all the methane gas that animals produce. But folks, Kentucky Fried Synthetic Protein Alternative doesn't sound very finger-licking good to me. And you know what really fries my synthetic bacon? All this concern about stupid chickens. Where's there any concern at all in Bill Gates with his global abortion program for human unborn babies? Don't tell me we don't need to confess our sins to God. And of course, the biggest sin of all, racism, as the left defines it. So Disney movies, Dumbo, Peter Pan, the Aristocats, gone, canceled. Cartoon characters, Speedy Gonzales, Pepe Le Pew, gone, canceled. Because now they're racist towards the Mexicans and the French. Woca-Cola right now is paying a race baiter named Robin DiAngelo to send this message to our country. America needs to repent of the sin of whiteness. God help us people, the world's definition of sin. We need to confess and repent of what God says sin is. But instead of that, you know what people are doing? Last February the 12th, a woman named Barbara Dee in Derbyshire, England, failed to appear in court for a charge, so the police went to her house to get her. So she put a laundry basket over top of her head to try to hide from them. Gee, I wonder how the cops ever found her. Just like us. Psalm chapter 90 verse 8. God has placed even our secret sins in the light of His presence. You can't hide from God. You can't hide your sins from God. And God knows what your sins are anyway. So for crying out loud, just confess them and let Him start taking them away. Because believe you me, you do not want to be in the situation that he's in right now. Last summer, during the height of the pandemic, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo was seen by a hero by everybody and their brother. And even though the state of New York had the highest COVID infection rate and the highest COVID death rate of any other state in the country, the left and the media loved him so much because he was blaming President Trump for everything and locked down his entire state into a ghost town to try to get money from the federal government. Andrew Cuomo was so popular, he won an Emmy Award for his daily press conferences and even came out with a book on leadership where he had the gall to lecture other states on how to deal with the pandemic like he had any clue himself. Governor Cuomo's fans worshipped and adored him so much they called themselves Cuomosexuals and even wanted him to run for president instead of Joe Biden. Well, last November, the wheels started all coming off and words started leaking out that the governor and his staff had purposely fudged the numbers of senior citizens who had died in nursing homes because of COVID. And come to find out, it was because Governor Cuomo had ordered the senior citizens who'd been taken out of the nursing homes and taken to the hospital because they had COVID, he ordered them to go back into the nursing homes, where the virus, of course, spread like nobody's business. And even though President Trump sent a U.S. Navy hospital ship to New York City to handle the numbers, and even though he helped them outfit the Javits Center into an emergency field hospital, Governor Cuomo never even used those things. Governor Cuomo and his staff underreported the number of nursing home deaths by almost 60%. And when he was asked about it the first time, he just said it was a lie. When he was asked about it the second time, he admitted they unreported the numbers, but he said it was President Trump's fault because as President Trump had heard the truth, he would have ordered a federal investigation. What in the world is he talking about? You know what Andrew Cuomo said about the whole thing? All those senior citizens dying in the nursing homes, so what? What does it matter where those people died? They died. They were going to die anyway. Absolutely no confession of any wrongdoing whatsoever. You talk about arrogant. But not only that, last month, all kinds of female staffers in the governor's office there started to claim that Governor Cuomo had sexually harassed them and even sexually assaulted some of them. 6 women now altogether. But you know what Governor Andrew Cuomo said about that? "I'm sorry if anything I may have done hurt any woman, but I never physically touched any woman. And if what I did really bothered them, they certainly didn't tell me about it at the time." Again, absolutely no confession of anything wrong whatsoever. And what's the result? Andrew Cuomo has gone from hero to zero. His poll numbers are in the toilet. And even Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling for his resignation. But you know what honks me off? The premature death of 15,000 senior citizens in the state of New York, that wasn't enough to tell the guy to hit the road? Now, the best thing Andrew Cuomo could have done was just to confess it and admit that he was wrong and guilty and then do everything he possibly could to make it right. But he didn't. And because of that, his political career, his marriage, his family, is all going up in flames now, right in front of his very eyes. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, "He who conceals a sin will not prosper." But listen to me, we need to take a lesson when it comes to our own sin. Because Numbers 32:23, your sin will find you out. The only right thing to do with sin is not to deny it or justify it or blame it on somebody else, but confess it and admit it to God. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But in order to get clean, we first of all have to come clean. The first thing that we need to do in order to deal with sin, we need to confess it. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to deal with sin. We not only need to confess it, we also need to get it forgiven. And that's exactly what John is saying here in verse 9. "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin." And folks, do we realize how critical, how absolutely critical that is? Because the church today is forgetting. I know all kinds of churches, the pastor never preaches sin, repentance, and forgiveness on Sunday morning. Ever. And you know why? Well, our people deal with sin in their small groups. But the problem is, statistics show less than 20% of people in our churches ever go to a small group. No wonder one out of four Christians in America today thinks that Jesus sinned sometime during his earthly life. No wonder two out of three Christians in America today think everybody's going to heaven no matter what they believe. No wonder 60% of Christians in America today think homosexuality and gay marriage and living together is perfectly fine. Do we appreciate forgiveness? 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, King James Version says, Jesus is the propitiation for our sin. Propitiation meaning God is royally ticked off by our sin, and we are saved because the death of Jesus Christ on the cross satisfies God's wrath over our sin. But in the NIV, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 doesn't have propitiation. It just says Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Like God took some anger management classes and mellowed out a lot. No. God still hates our sin with a purple prickly pear passion. So do we understand how the forgiveness comes? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And why just? Because isn't forgiveness all about mercy? No, it's all about justice too. Because in God's system of justice, sin has to be paid for. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. So all through the Old Testament, God told His people whenever they sinned, they're supposed to take a perfect lamb without spot or blemish and sacrifice it. And that lamb's blood would cover that sin, and God would forgive them. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 says all those animal sacrifices never really took away any sin because they were all just a preview of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus, the real perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And what was Jesus' final words on that cross? It is finished. Tetelestai, which means paid in full. So you confess your sins to God, you put your faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. God is faithful to forgive you just like He promised because His justice was satisfied by the blood of Jesus. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Jesus and Jesus alone. Because no other faith system in the world has a cross. Islam, you got to do the five pillars. Buddhism, you got to follow the eightfold path. Karma, you got to keep doing more good things than bad things in order to get to heaven and get off the spin cycle of reincarnation. Hi-ho, it's off to work you go. Every other faith system in the world, forgiveness, you got to work for and earn. Christianity, you receive it by faith. So let me ask you this morning, have you received forgiveness of sins through your faith in Jesus Christ? Because sadly enough, you don't have Christ, there is no forgiveness at all. 83-year-old Hollywood actor Jack Nicholson said this, because of all the womanizing I've done over the years, no woman would trust me or want me at this point in my life, and I don't blame them. I am single, old, fat, bloated, lonely, and I will probably die all by myself. That man needs to have his sins forgiven. Actress Ellen Page, back in 2012, she came out and declared that she was gay. In 2018, she gay married her lesbian partner, Jenna Portman. And just last fall, she decided she was going to try to become a guy. So she changed her name to Elliot. Then just this last January the 26th, she filed for divorce from her female partner. That woman's life is an absolute mess. And she doesn't need human rights campaigns. She doesn't need some stupid queer gender theory. She needs to have her sins forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ the Lord. Psychologist Carl Menninger said this, if we could convince people that their sins were really forgiven, 75% of all hospital patients and 75% of all psychiatric patients would be cured instantly. People need to have their sins forgiven. But where's the forgiveness in the world today? Creighton University basketball coach Greg McDermott, last February the 27th, after a loss to Butler, said this to his team, guys, we need to stick together. We need both feet in. I need everybody to stay on the plantation. I can't have anybody leave the plantation. Now, of course, he meant reservation, but he said plantation instead, even though reservation would have probably gotten him in trouble too. And even though Coach Greg McDermott was a really popular coach on that campus, and even though he did all kinds of great things for that university, and even though he coached Creighton to second place in the Big East, and even though he immediately apologized to his team, 4 days later he was indefinitely suspended from his job. And even though he was reinstated last March the 4th, he still has to do sensitivity training, cultural bias training. He has to go to Racial Equity Institute re-education camp and get his mind right about all of his so-called white privilege, blah, blah, blah. Not a racist bone in his body. The athletic director, Creighton University, said this: "These were egregious remarks that hurt our entire school. But he knows what he has to do now to change, and he is committed to growing. He understands forgiveness has to be earned." There's the earned thing again. "And he's willing to work for that. So we'll just have to wait and see." Folks, does that sound like any kind of forgiveness to you at all? How does the world deal with sin? It doesn't. How do other faith systems deal with sin? They don't. How does Christianity deal with sin? By the cross of Jesus Christ. You don't have to earn forgiveness because Jesus earned it for you. There is forgiveness through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross to take away our sin. So let me ask you this morning, what are those sins in our lives that we need to have forgiven? Let me tell you something. There are people in this church, in their homes, who get down on their knees every single day and beg God to forgive them because they feel so guilty about stuff that they've done, they don't believe God ever does forgive them. Years ago when I started my ministry, I was in a hospital room with a 40-year-old mom who was dying of cancer, born-again Christian on her deathbed, still begging God and her parents to forgive her for getting pregnant way back when she was in high school. Listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. So that's not the Lord that's telling you you're hopeless. That's the devil telling you that. So what are those sins in our lives that we need to have forgiven? Is it the affair? The divorce that really was your fault and not your partner's? The money that you embezzled? The way you abused your kids, all the mean things that you did to your parents and now they're dead so it's too late to say you're sorry, that abortion you had when you were 19 years old that still haunts you in your dreams every night when you try to go to sleep. You say, "Kevin, do you really believe that God would forgive me?" Listen to me. Absolutely He will if you do what He says here. If you confess your sins to God, and if you put your faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross, He is faithful to forgive you. And Isaiah 43:25, not only that, He will remember that sin no more. And listen to me, if God can forget about your sin, you can forget about your sin too. I don't care what kind of horrible thing happened in your past. I don't care how bad it seems. All over America right now, there's all kinds of houses that are associated with some of the most horrible murders in the history of this country. Places that you would think would absolutely scare the living daylights out of people. And yet, for some reason, there are some people who have no qualms whatsoever about buying those homes and living in them themselves. The Bath House, the Dahmer House in Bath, Ohio. Boyhood home of Jeffrey Dahmer, who raped and murdered 17 men and boys between 1978 and 1991 at his apartment in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But Jeffrey Dahmer's killing spree started there, in that house, because he was killing, torturing and killing small animals before he ever turned to people. But in spite of the history of that place, after the Dahmer family moved out, four other families bought and lived in that house, no problem whatsoever. The La Bianca Mansion in Los Feliz, California, outside of Los Angeles, where in 1969, Charles Manson and three other members of his cult murdered Leno and Rosemary La Bianca just 3 nights after killing actress Sharon Tate and four other people at her house in another part of Los Angeles. And as you can see there on the screen, there's been some minor changes. They reconfigured the driveway and everything over the years. But in spite of that, in spite of the history of that mansion, Since 1969, three other families have owned it and lived in it, no problem whatsoever. And right now, it's up for sale again for $22.3 million, if you're interested. Nicole Brown Simpson's condo in Los Angeles, where 1994, O.J. Simpson supposedly murdered her and her friend Ron Goldman. For 3 years, that condo sat there just as a morbid landmark to all the occult people who hung out in front of it. But then in 1997, somebody bought it, totally remodeled the entryway, and changed the address so people couldn't recognize it. And ever since then, three other people have lived in that condo, no problem whatsoever. The DeFeo House in Amityville, New York, where Richard DeFeo killed his entire family back in 1974. 3 months after those crimes, another family bought that house and ran out screaming because they said it was filled with demon spirits, what the movie The Amityville Horror was all about. But the four families that bought and lived in that house since then, absolutely no problem whatsoever. No demonic activity, nothing funky about that place at all. Now, you would think people would be so scared out of their gourd, they wouldn't even want to set foot in those places, let alone live in them. But you know why they do? Because some real estate agents in America are very good about flipping houses and taking a house and changing it and upgrading it and remodeling it and redeeming it and reclaiming it so that it's a valuable property again, regardless of all the horrible things that may have happened there in the past. Well, the Bible tells us the most horrible murder of all time happened 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary outside the city of Jerusalem when Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, was crucified for sins that He never committed. You talk about an innocent victim. But see, God redeemed and reclaimed that property because Jesus Christ died on that cross to pay the price for our sin so that we could be forgiven and live with Him forever. So God is the greatest real estate agent of all time because He took the most horrific property in the history of the world and turned it into the most valuable property in the history of the world. Does God know how to flip something or what? And you know what the greatest thing of all is? God not only does that with people's properties and people's houses, He also does it with people's lives. So listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of bad sin you committed. I don't care what kind of crime scene or horror show your life seems like. I don't care how scary you may be to other people. You confess your sins to God. You put your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross. He will forgive your sin and take your life and flip it and remodel it and redeem it and reclaim it and turn it into something valuable again so that you can be a blessing to all kinds of people for many, many years to come. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12, forgetting what is behind, I press on and I take hold of what Jesus Christ has taken hold of me. The second thing we need to do in order to deal with sin, we need to get it forgiven. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to deal with sin. We not only need to confess it, we not only need to get it forgiven, but third, we need to overcome it. And that's exactly what John is telling us here. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and overcome it to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So don't stop halfway through this verse. Because Jesus doesn't just want to forgive us of our sins. Jesus also wants to free us from our sins. And that's exactly what God the Father wants too. Matthew 5:48, be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Hello? So sin is not just a debt that God pays. Sin is also a habit that God breaks. If we let Him do it. So let me ask you. What are those sins in our lives right now that we need to be cleansed of? What are those sins in our lives that we need to overcome? Because every single one of us is addicted to something. Some people are just better at hiding it. What are those sins? Maybe it's cussing and dropping the F-bomb like Tammy Duckworth going off on Tucker Carlson. Maybe it's eating. Because the average American has gained 8 pandemic pounds during the lockdown. Folks, when we stand on the scale and the little thing says, please practice social distancing one person at a time, you know that we're overdoing it. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's anger. You and your spouse angering like Kim and Kanye West. Or you having a meltdown every single day, blistering the wallpaper, screaming at your parents. Maybe the sin is drinking, because that's gone through the roof during the lockdown too, especially for women. You say, well, Kevin, if you had to be cooped up in a house with your kids and a husband for an entire year, you'd probably be drinking too. I'm not talking about the reason. I'm talking about the problem. And if there's somebody listening to this sermon right now thinking, Kevin, I can go ahead and sin, do what I want, because God will just forgive me anyway later on. That just shows how lame your relationship with the Lord really is, because you're not overcoming any sin. That sin is overcoming you. Maybe that sin that has you bound is porn. And do you understand how dangerous it is? 8 years ago, I was preaching at a Bible camp in Washington State, and I met a 17-year-old Christian guy, oldest of 8 kids in a great Christian homeschool family. And this kid was so good at computers, he was already doing tech support for all kinds of restaurants and businesses in his hometown. Last night of that camp, he's standing there crying in the prayer line, and I knew exactly what his problem was. 17-year-old guy, spending all kinds of time on the computer. He was addicted to internet porn. And sure enough, that's exactly what he told me. But before I got a chance to talk to him, his friends pulled him out of line. I never heard anything of him until 2 years ago at a conference in Nashville. I found out that guy was serving 80 years, Clallam Bay State Penitentiary in Washington, because he had sexually molested all 7 of his younger brothers and sisters. People, listen to me, young people especially. Some of you right now have just started looking at porn on your phone and on your laptop because mom and dad aren't checking. And listen to me. You need to know right now, you are selling your soul to the devil and setting yourself up for a lifetime of slavery to something that is never, ever, ever going to satisfy you, and to an addiction that's a bear and a half to kick, and to all kinds of shame and guilt that can destroy your marriage later on and your relationship with Christ and all the good things that God wants you to do with your life. So right here in this church right now, you need to confess that sin to God and get forgiveness for what you've done already, because that sin is going to absolutely destroy you if you don't. I know from experience, years of growing up, porn is absolutely nothing but a black hole. You either kill that sin or it's going to kill you. You be set free by the power of Jesus Christ today. Because Jesus not only saves us from the penalty of sin, He also saves us from the power of sin. And just like with forgiveness, He does it with the cross. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, as Christians, we have been crucified with Christ. Meaning when Jesus was dying on the cross, we were dying there with Him. Jesus died for sin, we died to sin. So that old sinful nature in us that wants to drink and fight and cuss and look at porn died with Jesus. And then when Jesus rose again, we rose with Him too. And got a brand new spiritual nature that doesn't want to sin at all. Christians, we are what? Dead in the flesh, but alive in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. But the problem is, even though the flesh is dead, it's like a zombie. Like the walking dead. Because it just keeps rising up and coming back to life in us over and over again. So till Jesus comes back and takes us home, we just got to keep killing it and burying it over and over again. And how do we do that? How do you overcome a sin addiction in your life? Hang on. James chapter 5 verse 16, you confess that sin to somebody else. You tell somebody about that sin in your life, because the power that sin has over your life starts to break the very nanosecond you start exposing it. Then you lay the axe to the root of the tree. Means you cut off the source. Meaning you get rid of the phone, the porn, the Cheetos, the Stoli's vodka, whatever it is. You get closer to God than you've ever been before in your life. You get into God's Word so that God's Word starts killing off the tempting thoughts. You get some strong Christians in your life who can hold you accountable for what you do. And you pray like crazy that God would provide those way of escapes whenever you're tempted. You say, Kevin, do I really have to do all of those things? That depends. You want to be free? Or do you want to stay bound? You say, Kevin, it doesn't work. Work for him. A.J. McLean was a born-again Christian in 1997 when he joined the Backstreet Boys, the most popular, biggest-selling boy band of all time. But 2001, he started snorting cocaine to get himself pumped up for the live shows. And that started a 20-year addiction to drinking and every single drug that you can imagine. In and out of rehab, buku times. Got clean again in 2008. Relapsed again in 2009. Just one month after he got married to his wife, Rochelle. And that went on and on and on for years and years. But then December 2019... he went to Las Vegas on a bender, came home reeking of alcohol, walked in the front door. His 7-year-old daughter, Ava, came running up to him and she said, "You don't even smell like my daddy anymore." And what do you know? That's what did it. The Holy Spirit knocked A.J. McClain to his knees. He cried out to God. He called his old sponsor. He started working his program again. And today, 15 months later, he's doing virtual AA 2 times a day. He's checking in with the sponsor 6 times a day. And for the first time in 20 hellacious years, A.J. McClain is free. This is what he said. "When my daughter told me that, I felt so disgusting. That was my rock bottom. So I fell to my knees and I said, 'God, I can't do this on my own. I tried and failed miserably. So help this poor brother out. My family has saved my life. My recovery has saved my life. But most of all, God has saved my life and set me free. Because without Him, I would never even be here.'" And Christians, you know why that happened? Because Romans chapter 6, verse 14, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." I don't care how strong that sin is. I don't care how long it's been in your life. I don't care if it looks like it is never, ever, ever going to go away. There is freedom from that through the cross of Jesus Christ. This coming April the 26th is the 35th anniversary of the worst nuclear disaster in the history of the entire world. April 26th, 1986, at Chernobyl nuclear power plant in Ukraine. A technician disabled the emergency core cooler system to do a turbine test on unit number 4, and a series of operating mistakes caused that whole reactor to melt down. 3 rapid fire explosions blew the entire steel and concrete lid off the whole thing, and huge clouds of radioactivity started shooting out of there. Radioactivity 400 times more dangerous than the bombs dropped on Japan in World War II. Uh-oh. Those explosions were so powerful, nuclear rain fell as far west as Ireland. And radioactive dust traveled as far west as the United States of America. It took a whole week to pour 5,000 tons of sand and clay on top of that reactor and put the fires out and encase it again in a brand new concrete sarcophagus. But by that time, the damage had already been done because over 7 million people in Ukraine, Belarus, and the Soviet Union had already been exposed to radiation so dangerous they could have glowed in the dark. So the Soviet government evacuated over 340,000 people from within a 25-mile radius of Chernobyl, including a town called Pripyat, what was right next door to the power plant where most of the plant workers lived. And they deemed that entire area the forbidden zone, burned all the trees, slaughtered all the animals, and tried to keep people from sneaking back into their homes because the radiation there was so bad it would have turned them into mutants. But as the years went by, that radiation exposure continued to do incredible damage. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of spontaneous abortions and birth defects and tumors and cancers, you name it. And especially among the people who did sneak back into Pripyat and start living in their homes again. Folks, the radiation level in that town is still so bad, people there have dogs and cats that are born with uranium in their fur. Chernobyl caused over $300 billion in damage, and the World Health Organization said that the land in the forbidden zone will still be dangerous, toxic, radioactive for at least another 20,000 years. God help us, what a disaster. But what do you know? Even in that absolute hellhole of a mess, God was still working through the cross of Jesus Christ to save people. Now, the town of Pripyat is just a mile away from Chernobyl nuclear power plant. And in between the power plant and the town of Pripyat, there was this old pine tree, over 300 years old. And what do you know? It was shaped like a cross. No other pine tree like it in the world. And eyewitnesses who were there the day of the explosion said after the explosion, a huge cloud of radiation started rushing toward that town of Pripyat. But amazingly, miraculously, when that cloud got close to that pine tree, it split in half. Half the cloud bypassing the town on the right, the other half the cloud bypassing the town on the left. So that radiation cloud never touched the residential area of that city until after the people had been evacuated. And all the people who were in the residential part of that city that day, not one of them got sick from radiation. Now that pine tree died, and right now it's laying behind a shed by a building that the government one day wants to convert into a museum. But that pine tree died, taking all that radiation on itself in order to save those people's lives, just like Jesus Christ died, taking all of our sin on Himself in order to save our lives when He died on the cross. And because of that miracle of the cloud and that cross, all kinds of people in Ukraine have come to know Jesus as their Savior. But not only that, there is a church in Pripyat, a Russian Orthodox church called St. Elijah's. The only church in the entire forbidden zone for the few people who do still live there. That church was closed right after the explosion, opened up again in 2004. And you know what they discovered when they opened that church? All the land in the forbidden zone, including the land just outside the church property, is still dangerous, toxic, radioactive. But the church property itself, starting right there with that cross, the church property itself, absolutely no radiation whatsoever. And the church building itself, absolutely no radiation whatsoever. And to this day, scientists say they have no explanation, no idea why that is. I know why it is. It's because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. I don't care what your sin is. I don't care how contaminated you are. I don't care how embedded that sin is in your life. I don't care how long it's been there. I don't care how dangerous or toxic you may be to yourself or the people around you. I don't care how many people in your life want to consign you to the forbidden zone. The cross of Jesus Christ can save you from that sin. It can clean you up and set you free and keep that contamination from ever, ever seeping back into your life again and make you a witness to the world. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, far as the curse is found. And I know there's some Christians listening to me right now. You say, Kevin, why do we have to confess our sins to God? Because we're already saved. When we were saved, weren't all of our sins forgiven, past, present, and future? Yeah. So are you saying every time we sin, we lose our salvation? We lose our saving relationship with God? That's why we confess our sins, to get our salvation and our saving relationship? No. When I do something stupid that hurts Sue's feelings, she doesn't divorce me. She's mad at me, but we're still married. And I apologize and I say I'm sorry and she forgives me. You know why I apologize and confess and say I'm sorry? Because I want to be close to her again. So we do not confess our sins to God when we sin in order to maintain our saving relationship with God. We confess our sins to God when we sin in order to maintain our fellowship with God, because we want to be close to Him. Because when you really love somebody, you do want to be close to them. And you don't want to do anything to hurt them. And because we want to be close to Jesus Christ, because we really love Him, we want to confess our sins and get rid of those sins, because our sins do hurt it. It was our sin that put Jesus on that cross. It was our sin that pushed those spikes, the crown of thorns, into His head. It was our sin that stabbed Him in the side with that spear. It was our sin that pounded those nails through His hands and His feet. And it makes you wonder, when we sin now, does He still feel that pain? Does He still feel the nails? Thank you.
died for my transgressions, and He paid that price long, long time when He gave His life for me on a hill called Calvary. But there's something else I want to know. Does He still feel the nails every time I fail? Can He hear the crowd cry, crucify again? Am I causing You pain? And I know I treat His precious grace so carelessly. But each time He forgives, what if He relives the agony He felt on that tree? Does He still every time I fail? Can He hear the crowd cry, crucify again? Am I causing Him pain? Then I know I've got to change. I just can't bear the thought of hurting. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Do you still feel the nails every time I fail? Have I crucified You, Jesus, with my sins? Oh, I'm tired of playing games. Really want to change. Never want
pray. Lord, just thank You. Just thank You for the sacrifice You made for us on the cross. Lord, sin is a very real thing. It is a very big deal because it cost You Your life. We just thank You, Lord, 2,000 years ago that You were willing to do that, that You paid the price for our sin. And You've got a call in our lives now, Lord, to live for You, Lord, to put away this sin that keeps us from serving You, enjoying that relationship with You. And I pray, Lord, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, the power of the cross, the power of Your blood, that we would do that today. We would start that process of being set free.